All rise, please. Open in your Bibles. We return to the New Testament now. It's the book of Galatians. I don't know how long we'll be in the book of Galatians. What I know is we get about a verse and a half this morning, but I think, you know, this evening we might go through a whole chapter or something of that nature, but read it. Somebody texted me today. They said, you know, I only read Galatians three times this week. What do you think the key word is? So I encourage you guys too to read it and to be looking and asking the Lord to show you what he has in store for you as well. Short book. And like Justin said, maybe you want to make this one of the ones that you don't miss any of it, that you can come and get this entire book under your belt. So may God bless the reading of the word for us. This is the book of Galatians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle. Not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me. Well, Father, speak to us from this brief word. Brief as it is, it's our nutrition and our strength and our life. The words that you speak our life indeed. And so we ask, build us up, strengthen us, your men, your women, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The first two chapters, one third of the book of Galatians, is fully testimony. Paul is talking about himself for one third of the book. Oh, not entirely, but almost. And so what I decided to do is sort of follow suit. I hope you forgive me this morning, but I'm going to talk a lot about myself this morning. That's my second favorite topic. Well, my third favorite topic. My second favorite topic's right there, and my favorite topic's up there. But Paul's speaking about his own testimony, about who he is. For certain men had snuck in, and they had sought to get the control of the church or the churches there in the region of Galatia and to get a following for themselves. And they were belittling Paul and putting him down. They were saying his authority didn't count and it wasn't real. And so he stood up and he said, wait a minute. He did it from afar and he did it with pen and ink, but he did it. And he starts out by saying, you know, I wasn't even called by man. It wasn't man that did it. Who I am because of God. It is God who has called me. And I think that's true of you too. I think that's true of all of us, by the way. When I first got saved, it was 1975. My heart was broken over many things, but really, what drove me to Christ more than anything else was a lack in my own life of being able to communicate. I actually considered suicide because of the emptiness that was within me always, but especially when I was with people. I used to dream of having something to say, but I never had anything to say. I would fumble and I'd make a fool of myself as I would try to communicate with people, and I literally wept over that fact and really did almost commit suicide. In fact, when I was studying in university, I thought, well, you know, I'll just study forestry so that I can get a job in the forestry department, and I'll go be on one of those fire stations way back in the mountains where there's nobody else around, and then I'll be comfortable and then I'll be okay. And the night I got saved, as I confessed my sin, I don't know what words I said, I was alone, but as I asked him to come into my life and into my heart, I know and clearly remember that one of the things that I said was, please, if there's like an also or an addendum that I can put onto my salvation, I said, please, I would like to be able to talk. I would like to be able to have something to share. Now, maybe I'd have been better off had I said I'd like to be able to listen because I'm not that good at it. But after I got saved, my last A few units in college were down in, I was studying in Mexico, and there was a group of people down there, other students from the States there with me, and they kept asking me to teach them the Bible, which I thought was the weirdest thing I'd ever, why would they, I'd never even told anybody I was a Christian. I don't know, maybe it was there, maybe they thought I wasn't, and this would get me to be saved or something, but they asked me to teach them the Bible, and I thought, that's really strange, and we never really did get together to do that, though after I got saved, I did get together with my first two roommates, and opened up the Bible and taught them the book of Matthew. We went through the whole book of Matthew. I'd hate to hear the things I said now, you know, but they both got saved too, as we went through the book of Matthew together. Then when I finally started going to church, in the middle of a message, the pastor turned to me on a Thursday night. We had a Thursday night Bible study. He turned to me and he says, "Oh, by the way, I also know that you're called to be a pastor, Miles." What? You know, where is this guy coming from? What in the world is he talking about? Had never, ever imagined anything like that. Well, eventually I got connected with Calvary Chapel down in Fresno, and in 1982, my pastor said to me, "There's a group of people from North Fork who are asking us to start a Bible study up there, maybe a church." He says, "Would you be willing to go up and start a Bible study up there?" And so, absolutely, and a friend of mine and I, we drove up every Thursday night and began to teach a Bible study up there, and it grew, and it grew, and it grew, and then the house, the living room was too crowded, and we thought, well, let's rent a space, and then a couple of guys came together, and they said, "You know, we think we're probably going to be the elders of the church that's going to start here, and we know you're going to be the pastor, and so we rented a place for Sunday." And I went, "What?" And that same night, some woman came to me, and she says, "Oh, pastor." I said, "What?" She says, "Oh, pastor, my husband and I are having trouble. Will you help us in our marriage?" Now, you got to realize, I wasn't married at the time. And she was old. I mean, she was old. She was like 35. And so I started to panic, you know. And there was a Friday fellowship I used to go to, and so I was driving to that Friday fellowship, and if some of you heard this story before, forgive me, but I love it. I pulled off the road because I was so moved, scared is probably the right word, about all that was happening in my life and this call and people encouraging me and wondering if I was to be a pastor or not. And I got out a 3x5 card, something which I don't think I've ever done this before or since. They're very unusual for me. And I wrote down seven things, and there were seven reasons. There were really seven objections to my being a pastor, the reasons why I probably shouldn't be. And then I got to the study, and man, the parking lot was packed, and there were like 100 people. Usually there were maybe 30. And there were 100 people there that night or more. And I thought, what is going on? And someone said, "Oh, there's a singing prophet here tonight." And I thought, oh, great, I'm out of here. But the Lord spoke to me so clearly and said, "No, you're staying." Well, I had taken that 3x5 card that I'd written those things on, and I'd put it in the glove box of my car. I didn't tell anybody about it. And so we had our dinner together like we always did, and then we had this singing prophet. He sang some horrible songs. But then he started to prophesy in music. And he prophesied to three people. I don't remember the first one, but the second one was a girl. And I remember so clearly, he said to her in his music, he said to her, "Through your tears on your bed, I hear you." And I asked her about that later, and she said, "Nobody knew this, but today I was on my knees on my bed weeping, saying, 'God, do you even hear me?'" And then he turned to like the middle of the group. I was sitting in the middle of the group. It just so happened. But he turned to the middle of the group, and he started singing in perfect, you know, rhyme. Horrible song, but perfect rhyme. And he kept looking at right in the middle of the group. And I'm thinking, is he looking at me? He's not looking at me. He's looking, is he? Yes, no. But you know what he's saying? He's saying the seven things I wrote down. And as soon as he was done, I said, were you singing to... He says, yes. And so then I went out to the glove box of my car. I thought, who stole my 3x5 card? And there it was. I looked at it. I thought, did I really write these things? It was just so amazing to me. This calling that came to me, that came to my life, which really was not from man. It was from God, who through a couple of different pastors and through a prophet and through individuals and elders in the church and all the rest of it, it just happened. It was just something that happened. You know, in Calvary Chapel, we have a saying that we don't call the trained, we train the called. And from this little testimony of mine, you might notice something that's missing called seminary. I never had any seminary training. In fact, at one point, Joyce and I, we have also a missionary calling. And one of the mission organizations said, well, you don't have any training. Why don't you talk to your pastor and have him send you to 4 years of Bible college, and then we could consider using you. And so I told him that, and he said, this is your Bible college. He said, if I thought you needed something else, I would gladly send it you there, but you don't. Not that I don't have any education. I graduated high school, went on to college, went on then to grad school, which amazed me more than anybody except for maybe my high school counselor, who said to me, don't even try to go to college. He said, you won't be able to make it. You don't want to fail out. He said, they're building the Alaska pipeline, and they're actually paying $10 an hour. And at the time, you know, I was working for my girlfriend's dad doing construction, $3 an hour. $10 an hour sounded like, that's more than three times what I'm making. That's amazing. And it was a real enticement. My dad kept saying to me, I'll get you flying lessons. You can be a pilot. You're no student, kid. And yet, you know, when I went to school, I got good enough grades, and they sent me to school in Spain, and I got straight A's in Spain. And then I finished college, and after I finished college, I sort of stumbled on a graduate program and went and got a graduate degree. And so college and university and grad school, they didn't really give me much of anything except that they taught me how to study. They taught me how to cram. Sometimes Saturday night, not usually, every once in a while though, but it did. It taught me all that. I don't have time to tell you about the missionary calling that my wife and I both have, but the point here is that it wasn't man who called, it was God. Now enough of me. Who else is in the room? How about you? You just got to find your calling. Listen to me. You have got to find your calling. After I finished college, I wandered around for a long time because I did not have the slightest idea what to do with myself. They didn't train me for the world. They didn't equip me to be able to even go out and find a job. I didn't have the slightest idea what I was doing. And what I distinctly remember was the horrible feeling of having no purpose in my life, of not knowing what to do, not understanding why I was here. I mean, by this time I was saved. I wasn't yet teaching, but I'd had that group of people ask me, you know, if I'd teach Bible studies and such. I'd had a pastor say to me, I know you're called to be a pastor. I wasn't doing any of those things, but man, it was just that wandering and not really having life. You know, while Paul's calling as an apostle was unusual, both in its manner and in its scope. Yet the fact that he was called by God is not at all unusual. In fact, it is the pattern. It's the pattern that's set aside for us in Scripture. And then, of course, there's that book, The Purpose-Driven Life. Now, I've never read that book, but it sold millions of copies. Why? I think it's largely due to the fact that there are so many Christian men and women who don't know why they're here. But you should. You should know. You should be able to tell everybody what your calling is and who you are in Christ. Life gives us routine. Routine becomes the rut, turns into great drudgery. And then for so many people, you know this is true. You know it's true. Life gets filled with a search to fill that drudgery and that emptiness, and it's all about entertainment. I'm not against entertainment. It's all about sports. I'm for sports and activities. I'm not for them to try and be the satisfying agent in your life. And then it goes beyond those things, doesn't it? It goes into drugs and alcohol and sex and pornography. You know what the Bible says about these kinds of things? Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Having a purpose, living your life dedicated to the call that God has on your life for you, set aside for you. Ephesians chapter 2 says, before the world was founded, he knew all about you and he created you. You are his poema, you're his poem, you are his special creation. You have the artistic heart of God in a poem and writing, but not with pencil and paper or even computer, but in human flesh. There you are, the living poem of God, created, the Bible says, for a purpose, for good works which God before the foundation of the earth prepared, so that you would walk in them. He didn't want all this emptiness. He didn't want all this floundering around and searching and wondering. I mean, you go from the alcohol and the drugs and the sex and the pornography into depression. How many people are on the drugs for that depression? I really believe that today, so many of America's maladies would just go away if we knew what our calling was and we pursued the calling that God has for us. I think one of the reasons that a lot of people struggle with going to church is because they're not involved in their calling. If you were involved in your calling, spending yourself, searching, trying, opening up doors, looking, and stepping out, you would just need it so bad to come and get encouragement, to be washed again with the water of the Word, to be lifted by the brethren, to have fellowship with others. You would just need that. And you'd be looking for, you'd be going, oh man, I can't wait till I get back into the community. Instead of out here where the battle is so raging. We always give our troops some R&R, don't we? Don't we? God's the same. Come aside with me and rest, for you're weary. Why were they weary? They were pursuing their calling. If you have a ministry, you seek the strength of fellowship, redirection, fresh fire, reinvigoration. How many of you has it been days, literally days, since you said, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. How many? Has it been months? Since you've gotten on your knees and said, Lord, I need your power. I need your spirit. I need you. Why don't we? Because we're involved in entertainment. We're involved in every other little thing. We're sidetracked. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, I marvel you're turning away so soon from him who called you. It's said to all of them, to all of the Christians, him who called you, and the you is plural. Galatians 1, 15, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace. So the calling comes by grace, and the calling for Paul came from his mother's womb. I believe I was called as a missionary long before I became a Christian. That God put that call and that desire in my heart in second grade. We're studying about Lewis and Clark. And I wanted it. Wanted what they had. Galatians 5:8. This persuasion doesn't come from him who calls you. Present tense. God's calling. Romans 1, 6, among whom you also are the called. You're the called. You're called. And the calling didn't come from man. Romans 8, 28, we know all things work together for good, those who love God, to those who are the called, according to his purposes. Romans 8, 30, moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, these he justified. Have you been justified? Well, you were called first. Romans 9:24, even us whom he called. And not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. Romans 11:29, the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. They're not taken back. He doesn't erase it. He doesn't say, oh, guy, what a mistake I made. Taking that one back. God's not an Indian giver. Is that saying, that's probably not PC. I didn't say that. God is not a bad giver. Taking things back. Sounds better the other way. Anybody here give up on their calling that God didn't take back? You remember? Did you dream about it? Did you wonder? Remember when you sought for the gift, you heard that there's such a thing as spiritual gifts. Whoa. And some of them, give you the chills, they're so mysterious. And you sought for them and you wanted them and you're commanded to do that. Seek the greater gifts. And you seek for God's calling and you want it and you look, but how many, we're growing older. The younger should do it. Hey, there's more of us than there are of them. So let's get to work. Pastor Chuck Smith would say, the older I get, the more I realize I have to ramp up because I have less time. Got to wind it up. Got to step out. Got to do it. There's less time left for me. It's not for me to sit back and just to say, let somebody else do it now. 1 Corinthians 1:26, for you see your calling, brethren. It's not many wise according to the flesh. That's not it. Nor many mighty, nor many noble that are called. It's just us. It's just you and me. It's just the guy that shouldn't have gone to college. 1 Corinthians 7:17, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. What did he just say? Each one? As the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. And I so ordain that in all of the churches. That's everywhere. If you are his, you have a calling, and the time has come to take up that mantle. I'm in a bad mood today. Is that coming across? I'm sorry. You guys are really quiet this morning. I didn't sleep well, you know, and I hope I'm not. If I'm beating you too much, then you just, somebody throw a tomato or something, but I don't mean to be. You know, it just happens, right? Even if you're cold. I'm trying to smile. I often put a smiley face in the top of the notes so that I remember. Don't be mad at me. I don't like it when you're mad at me. I don't mean to be beating you, but exhorting for sure. Exhortation comes from the Lord. In fact, it's like the nickname of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is called the Parakletos, and Paraklesis is exhortation. Paraklesis is the gift of being like the Holy Spirit, gift of exhorting. And so let's all be exhorted today. Take up that mantle. And think for a moment with me, Jesus. Would you say his calling was from man or from God? Think for a moment about this. Is it okay to have a calling from man? What did Jesus say? I'll answer your question. You first answer me mine. John's baptism, was it from God or man? And they knew if they said from man that they would be stoned. Because the calling comes from God himself. But Jesus' calling, pretty interesting, not even John the Baptist was sure. Are you the one? Or should we be looking for someone else? When will you come to the place where you are convinced in your heart that your God loves you, has a plan for you, you are his poem, you're his artistic work, and he wants you to be able to have a fulfilling, awesome, wonderful life being lived for him? Yes. And yet Jesus, though a dove came and kind of certified his calling, didn't it? Yet there was testing that came, and there was opposition. And the Bible says that he was rejected of men. Although he had a following, didn't he? He was rejected of men. Do you also reject him? If you do not publicly take your stand for Christ, being baptized at the very least, a public declaration of your faith, that's a commandment. If you do not publicly declare your allegiance with Christ, he basically said he's not going to declare you before the Father or even before the angels. I kind of like having angels on my side. Do you reject him also? How does the verse end? At verse 1. The Father who raised him from the dead, do you believe? Of course, elsewhere, Jesus said he would raise himself up from the dead. And then in, is it 2 Peter, 1 Peter? I always get confused which, but there we understand that it is the Holy Spirit that rose him from the dead. The three inseparable, working together, the three in one. But here, where we're told clearly the Father raised him from the dead. Do you believe that? Can you stand to be counted? Can you say, yes, I am his? Yes, I want to be baptized. Yes, I want to tell others. Yes, I believe. Yes, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Yes, I want to be his. Yes, I want a calling in my life and in my heart. Yes, I align myself with him because everything that I have and all that I am, man, I bet it all. Sometimes you see the guy take the big stack of chips and move it all on to, you know, number 7 or whatever. And the ball drops and the wheel spins and it's all on the line. Well, you know what? For a real born-again person, it is all on the line. That's nothing. That's nothing. For a person who's truly born again, it's all on the line. Everything that I have, all that I am, all that I hope to be. And then we'll find out. One day the ball drops. When the ball drops for you, where will you be standing? Do you believe? Have you received Jesus? Are you born again? Do you know it? Is there a calling in your life? Is there a confirmation? Has a dove descended from the skies and flittered down and fallen upon you? Are you his? Do you know it? And why are you his? Do you know it? To what purpose? To what end? What's the plan that he's got for you? Be saved. Be baptized. Find your calling and go for it. Don't disqualify yourself. Paul said, I am not worthy of being called an apostle. Now, that's not literary license. You know, let me just say a nice thing. That was true. If anyone was not worthy, he was not worthy. Pursuing the church, persecuting the church. Unworthy man. Ephesians 1:18. May the eyes of your understanding, Paul prays for you and me. 2,000 years ago, he prayed for that church in Ephesus, all the churches in existence at that time and throughout time. And he said in his prayer, may the eyes of your understanding be enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Do you know it? What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? What you miss out on if you don't know your calling. Man, the riches of the glory of an inheritance that's there for us. Philippians says of the call that it is upward, the upward call, Paul says. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Or it's 2 Timothy 1:9. I've got two written down here. Says that he has saved us and called us with a holy calling. And that is not according to our works, but it's according to his own purpose and grace which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. That the calling isn't because, oh, this guy's real good at talking. He can move his mouth like nobody's business. It's not according to the natural man or natural ability. It's according to a God who loves to go beyond what's natural and works the supernatural. I think this is the 1 Thessalonians or 2 Timothy. He who calls you is faithful and will do it. So we're not asking you to become something amazing, to, you know, achieve greatness. We're not saying, you know, you guys got to step up to the plate now. We're just saying God has a plan for you, and he has called you, and he will do it. He will do it. I don't know how to do what's happened to me. I can't say, well, just send me anywhere. I'll build a church, yes. In fact, I tried that because we planted that church in North Fork, and Brad and Mary, I know Brad and Mary longer than I've known any of you guys. They were part of that church over there. And then God pulled me out of that church, and my pastor said, oh, up in Shaver Lake, there's another group of people. You know how to do this. Just go on up and start a Bible, start a church. How many years did we go? It's like 5 or 6 years we went every Thursday night, huh? Driving up, hour and 15 minutes, up and back. Wasn't bad. The first 3 years or something, we weren't married yet. Our friends used to call us the two-headed driver, you know. She says, what happened? We used to be a two-headed driver. I said, I'm not the one who moved. Five or six years up in Shaver Lake, and the group went from a dozen to 17 to 20-something. To 15, to 13, to 11, to 7, to 2, to one lady one time. And that was the time I invited my sister to come along with us. And on the drive down, I said, well, I guess it might be time to call it quits. The guy who knows how to do it. That's what happens. I don't know how to do it. I just know God called me. It's like, just like Paul, and just like you, and we're ending early today. But I want to ask the elders if they would come forward and be here. Not to anoint you with oil. We're not certifying anybody's ministry today. Not to lay hands on you. The Bible says lay hands on no one quickly. But to pray with you. And I want us to spend some time here, and maybe Laura can come and play the... Well, this isn't a piano. Where's the real piano? Anyway, play this thing. And just for some background music for us, and maybe we can dim the lights for a little bit. Just, you know, is it too much to ask of you 10 minutes? I mean, come on. Is it too much to ask that we would spend 10 minutes just in silence here? If you want to come up and have an elder pray with you, that it would be revealed to you what your calling might be, if you're seeking for that, if you want to be saved and you don't know if you're saved, and you want to come up, and let's not have this too loud, guys, so that these elders can hear when somebody's going to be praying with them. Let's just spend some time and ask God, is this guy nuts or is he correct? And if he's correct, what does it mean for me? And what's the call that you have on my life? Wouldn't you like to know? The elders, please come forward, and I guess I'll be up here too. And if you'd like to have us, we'd be very happy to pray with you. These guys have all been called as elders. We do have more elders serving. Let's spend some time just praying. And if you'd like, come up to the altar. You can come up to the altar just yourself, just to come to the altar and kneel down. But it's time, Lord, more than being a churchite, give us your call. Tell us why we're here, who we are. Man makes his plans, but God directs his steps, and so set our steps. And I ask you to reveal to me, is there something more you're calling me to? Something different? Here or away? call and I will follow. We want to follow you. You're so worthy. You're gentle and gracious. You're so wonderful. You're our leader. Lead us. Who's here that would like to receive Christ today as your Savior? Who's here today that's not yet saved? You'd like to be saved? Jesus loves you. God loves you so much. He wants to take all of your sin away. Who is there here today that would like to be saved? Would you raise your hand? Would you let me know? Is there anyone? The Bible says, through the laying on of the hands of the elders, Timothy received his special gift and anointing, calling from you. Anoint these elders as they pray. Just help as we ask. And the verses that have come to me, the path of the righteous, it's like the rising of the sun. It grows brighter and brighter as the new day dawns. And so may your paths be. Minutes goes by pretty quickly. But your life is worth a lot more than that. It'd be worth it to go and spend 10 more minutes at home, and spend an hour, and then spend a day, spend time in prayer and fasting. It'd be worth it. It'd be good. Shall we all rise together, please? You know, I don't think I talked about that last part. Was the beginning of the second verse, huh? I kind of did. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me. That's what a called person looks like. All the brethren who are with me. Good for you to be here with us today and us to be with each other. God bless you. God fill you with His Holy Spirit. God direct your steps. God make His way known to you. May you joyfully live out the calling that God has for you. May you be thoroughly blessed.